All right, Browns fans, Nathan Zagura alongside Sir Andrew Gribble. Here we are at Twickenham Stadium for the Browns and the Minnesota Vikings. The Browns, we all know, in search of their first win. The Vikings come in 5-2. They've won 3 in a row. They sit atop the NFC North standings. And now these London games can be a little wonky, as they say over here, Gribbs. But what do the Browns have to do to try to get that elusive first win?
Well, I think with this matchup, it's going to go into a fast start. You have to come out and get a lead. That's something this Browns team just hasn't done much this season at all, not much in the first half especially. You got to get ahead of them because they're a defense that if they have a lead, they're going to pin their ears back and make life miserable on Deshaun Kizer. They have an offense that's not exactly their strength, so if you can get a lead on them, they might get a little panic. They're missing Dalvin Cook, their top playmaker. He's out for the season. They're on their second quarterback in Case Keenum. So if you can get an advantage, get a lead, maybe it puts a little bit of pressure on them, and then you get the crowd on your side. You get some momentum. You start feeling good about yourself, and then those things, it can get a little weird here.
It certainly can, and the team that jumps out usually in London ends up winning the game. For the Browns, though, in the last 23, they've been ahead after the first quarter only 3 times. You talked a little bit about that Vikings defense. It's so good, top of pretty much every statistical category. What makes them so effective?
I think it's the pass rush. I think you got those two ends with Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter, and they're just so solid from that point forward. They have a lockdown corner in Xavier Rhodes, one of the best safeties in the NFL, and Harrison Smith. There just isn't many weaknesses, and you look at their scores this season, even the games they've lost have been pretty low scoring. So to match that defense, you're going to have to play good defense yourself, and the Browns could be in a little bit of trouble with all their starters that are missing today.
Yeah, and you just did the inactive. Speaking of this Vikings defense, they've only given up 20 points once this year. They have Pro Bowlers at every level, multiple Pro Bowlers at 2 levels. All right, you talk about the inactive for the Browns on the defensive side of the ball. You're without 4 starters and a key contributor. No Peppers, no McCourty in the secondary. We know about Myles Garrett, and then in the middle, Coley and Ogunjobi, who have both played very well for this Browns run defense, they'll be out as well.
Yeah, you know, the Browns held their own last week without McCourty and Peppers, and they can do it again if Mike Jordan continues to play well, and Ibrahim Campbell, an experienced guy, you know, he's someone that can be in there and give you what you need at that position. So I think the issue, though, for the Browns might be the loss of Myles Garrett. He's one of the best players in the entire field, and his consistent pass rush that he brings, even if he's not getting to the quarterback, you have to devote extra resources to protect the quarterback with him rushing. He's not out there, so it's going to be on Carl Nassib, Nate Orchard, to bring some kind of pressure on Case Keenum and not let him sit back there and let Stephon Diggs run all over the secondary.
Well, you talked about Myles Garrett. He has 4 sacks on the season. Nassib, Orchard, and Agba combined have 4 sacks on this season. They're going against a rebuilt Minnesota line. 2 new tackles, Riley Reef from Detroit at the left tackle, Mike Remmers, who had been with Carolina, now at right tackle. Those two haven't given up a sack all year, and they haven't allowed the Vikings a sack in 3 straight games. So they're going to have to find a way to get pressure on Case Keenum and disrupt the flow of this offense.
Yeah, and they've got 2 other weapons that they can use. One in particular might want to focus on because the Browns have struggled to stop the tight end, and that's Kyle Rudolph. He's not a guy that puts up big numbers, but if they need him, they can go to him consistently. And then Adam Thielen, probably one of the best possession receivers in the entire NFL, doesn't have a touchdown, but he's targeted about 10 times a game. He's someone that the Browns are going to have to look out for as well.
Yeah, Adam Thielen, 4th in the NFL in receiving yards, 3rd on third downs behind only Antonio Brown and Jarvis Landry. He is the go-to guy for Case Keenum. And we talked about Dalvin Cook. You mentioned him earlier, a guy that was on pace to maybe lead the league in rushing when he suffered that injury. All they've done, though, with him out is rush for 440 yards the last 3 weeks, 2nd in the NFL. They got Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. Murray had his best game last week.
Yeah, that is the one thing that gives the Browns an advantage, though. I think we've seen enough to know that this is a good Browns run defense.
Oh, yeah.
I think, though, you're missing 2 key pieces in Coley and Ogunjobi, who have helped you make a good run defense, but that's not a matchup I worry about too much. I think that this has been a team that just stops the run no matter who they're facing. They've actually limited running backs catching the ball too, which is something that McKinnon can hurt you with as well. So that's a matchup that favors the Browns. It's the passing defense that I'm going to be worried about today.
Yeah, and for the Browns in that run defense now with those 2 defensive tackles out, you still got Danny Shelton, you got Jamie Meter, so they'll probably start. Caleb Brantley would next be the next guy. We'll see T.Y. McGill for the first time since Cincinnati when he made his debut with the Browns, but didn't really do much in that particular game. All right, the Browns wide receivers, that's been a story all year long. They have really struggled. We see them warming up behind us here. How do they get this wide receiver core going, and is this the week to count on them against a great trio of Rhodes, Waynes, and Newman?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier this week, whoever is getting guarded by Rhodes might just – you might not see
starting
much
to get
of
that Deion treatment.
Yeah, you might not get him the entire game, so it's about the other guys stepping up. You just need one of these wide receivers to step up. But, you know, let's face it, this is a Browns team now where arguably the 3 top playmakers in the passing game might not be wide receivers. And what you have from Duke Johnson, David Njoku, and Seth DeValve, Earlier this week, DeShone Kizer mentioned that as guys he can go to on short passes that can turn them into longer gains. I think that's a trust factor that DeShone has developed specifically with Duke Johnson, knowing that he can check down to him and still get a first down probably. So look for more involvement of those guys. But that's the thing that the Vikings do well as well. They can stop the running backs in the passing game. So they're going to have to just find wherever there's openings, and there might not be many of them.
Yeah, they've only given up 30 yards to a running back twice this year as a receiver. Duke, by the way, 10 catches on third down, 11th in the NFL. Not usually a stat your running back leads the team in any. Mentioned Njoku, he's averaging 15 yards a catch the last 3 weeks. They're starting to flex him out more and use him as a receiver, because if you look at the guys that are active today, the only one who's even scored is Kenny Britt. We know his struggles this season. They really haven't had anybody be able to step up and consistently be a threat at the wide receiver position. Nobody's even gotten to 50 yards in the last two games.
Yeah, I guess a guy that we've seen a little bit of good flashes, though, from is Bryce Treggs. The more he gets familiar with this offense, perhaps the more we're going to see of him. We didn't see much of Kaysom Williams last week. Maybe we'll see more of him this week as well. And Ricardo Lewis leads the receivers in receiving yards. Just need to see more consistency out of him. When he's getting open, he can get open. It's just getting the ball in the hands and making something happen with it. Those are the guys that really need to help out DeShone Kizer and what is going to be kind of another chance for him to redeem himself after getting pulled last week.
You know, it's funny with DeShone Kizer. He's only played two full games this year. Pittsburgh week one, Indy week three. Browns only lost those games by 3 points, which I know they're still losses, but when you think about the way this season's gone, 3 points, not a bad loss for the Cleveland Browns in 2017. So hopefully he can get out here, take care of the football, because he's been able to move the ball. Those red zone turnovers, though, the Browns, 6 red zone turnovers this year, plus a turnover on down, so really 7 in the red zone. That's been the Achilles heel of this football team, the self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah, and this might be the best defense he faces, probably the best defense he's faced since week two when he played the Baltimore Ravens. Struggled in that game, but was playing with a migraine from the beginning, so it's hard to compare that to now. The thing I noticed with DeShone, though, is I don't see his confidence shaken at this point. I know that's a worry on him being yanked multiple times. I think he has the mindset for it, and as Jim Donovan mentioned earlier this week, maybe what he went through at Notre Dame has prepared him for that, to let him play freer and easier, because I didn't notice him forcing throws or being hesitant to throw the ball. So I think that's something that we don't have to worry about him maybe being rattled by getting pulled. You just don't want him to get that first interception, because then we saw him maybe press a little bit after that first pick last week.
And you know, the crazy thing about it was that was probably the best half of football he's played all year prior to that interception where he had Rashard Higgins wide open and just overthrew him. The key for DeShone Kizer is get the ball out quick, and that's what he did against Tennessee starting off. I believe he started off 8 of 9 in that game. The ball is coming out under 2.5 seconds, and when you break down his numbers, when he gets it out quick, he completes 66% of his passes. This offense moves. When he holds on to it, 40% completion rate, 32 quarterback rating, 6 picks. So he's got to do a good job working in the offense, getting it out quick. The problem is this is a good group of corners. They're comfortable leaving those guys on islands. All three of them are very, very good. And our receivers are going to have to win or make some contested catches against that group, because you can't imagine them getting open very often against Rhodes, Waynes, a former first-round pick in his own right, and Newman, who's 39 years old and still playing great football.
Yeah, you know, and he might not have any other choice but to get it out quick because of the Vikings pass rush. We haven't talked about it yet, but this is the first full game without Joe Thomas. Big pressure on Spencer Drango lining up against Everson Griffin. He's got 9 sacks. He's looking to get more. I think he has a sack in every single game this season. So the pressure's on Spencer Drango. I'm sure he's going to get some help, more help than Joe Thomas got, because you could just leave him on an island, not worry about it. So it's going to be on DeShone Kizer to recognize that the potential mismatch there, get the ball out quick, and not have a repeat performance of week one, which he hasn't looked like that ever since week one. He learned from that mistake, but this is going to be the most pressure he's going to be facing in the pocket so far this season.
At quarterbacks last week against the Vikings had 2.05 seconds to throw, Joe Flacco with the Ravens, so they can get there in a hurry. And let's talk about that pass rush. On one side, you've got Griffin right now, 9 sacks, 3rd in the NFL. In fact, since 2014, only Von Miller has more sacks than Everson Griffin. On the other side, Danielle Hunter, 12.5 sacks last year, was 3rd in the NFL in his own right. They bring in Brian Robeson in passing situations, who had 7 sacks a year ago. He's got 1 already this year. Linval Joseph's getting to the quarterback up the middle. I mean, they flat out can get there. They're averaging over 20 quarterback pressures a game. I mean, think about it. How many times do you throw the football in a game? 35, 36, 40? They're getting there half the time, and they don't do it with blitzing, which makes them so effective on that back end.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a Vikings team that just in general, probably because they're not having flashy quarterback play, they're one of the better teams in the NFL right now, and they're really not getting that kind of attention. We saw how good they looked when Sam Bradford was in there. He's been out since that season opener. So I think for a team that's had the quarterback issues that they've had, they still have a great record. They're in the driver's seat in the NFC North now that Green Bay is dealing with Aaron Rodgers' injury. You know, this is one of the better, if not one of the best teams the Browns are going to be facing the rest of the season. I mean, this is a very tough matchup, but you've got to be hoping that, as we've talked about, history shows you almost have to throw the line out. You have to throw the favorites out when you come to London, because it's all about how a group of players works together and handles the different elements, the different travel, everything like that.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll leave you with this. If history showed us anything, it could be that Case Keenum in this stadium might really struggle. Four interceptions right here a year ago, three in the fourth quarter as the Rams lost to the Giants, put Landon Collins on the map. Maybe that'll happen again today, and the Browns can get their first win. We appreciate everybody being with us here on ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. Get ready for the Browns and the Vikings from London. For Andrew Gribble, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for watching.